Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, You Can't Have Our Children.
But Exodus 10, when you have the word, say, I have the word. All right, Exodus 10, if you need a Bible, as I shared, put your hands up. Exodus chapter 10, verse 7 through 11. If you don't mind, Elder Nadira, you're reading, or Elder Nikki. Amen. Go ahead and read the text if you don't mind. Exodus 10, verse 7 through 11, and then Psalms 127, verse 3 through 5. All right, let's read.
Then Pharaoh's servant said to him, How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, Go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. Then he said to them, The Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence.
Right. Psalms 127, verse 3 through 5.
Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 reads, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate.
Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. Have y'all noticed society has reversed this? They don't want you to have now no more than 1.5. And the 0.5 is a dog. It's amazing how we've reversed the order of God. It says, Happy is a man that have a quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak when his enemy is at the gate. And Pharaoh, the servant, said to Moses, Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that are going to go with you? And Moses tell him, the young ones, the old ones, sons, daughters, what he telling him is, everybody's going. But then Pharaoh's counter and says, ye men shall go. The inference here is nobody else is going. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, give me articulation of speech, but most importantly, let me preach, Father, with the fire of God, that we can shake the heavens, Lord. We can speak to principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And we can declare the truth of your word, and we can settle that you can't have our children. Speak through me today, God, and speak in a manner, God, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that we would mature into the bride of Christ. Speak, Lord. Let us take up our weaponry. There's a commodity at stake. There's booty to be worn. There's whole plethora of things to be gained. We understand the enemy can't have our children. Thank you. We thank you for what you shall do with this message. Glorify yourself. And all God's people said amen and amen. If you are one that would like to read, amen, about this account, all you got to do is use your smart device and put in anything like Baltimore Harbor flooded with the youth, or the inner harbor, bystanders and businesses own brace themselves. the article that I pulled, and I'm going to get right to the text in a minute, but it talked about that how that downtown was overtaken by more than 400 young African-American children. They begin to do certain things like, you know, most were peaceful, but some smashed windows and some disturbed the crowd that gathered. I think after the account, there was some around six people charged with six, 400 there, but six charged with disorderly conduct, destruction of property, and unarmed robbery and assault. So six out of 400 to 500. But the image was 400 to 500, and six were peaceful. The police union president sent out a tweet that became very controversial. While our children were gathering downtown, he sent out a tweet. Now, they were just gathering. He sent out a tweet, "Don't fall into the trap that they're only kids. Some are criminals." Some city leaders have tried to respond quickly because they remember what happened in April of 2015 with Freddie Gray. So quickly, the Democratic Council of President Brandon Scott said, we got to provide community outlets like rec centers and more parks so they won't have to gather at the harbor. Businesses begin to lock their doors. Renaissance Hotel locked all entrances and exits. They said they did this so their customers could be safe. So what they're saying, what they're inferring is that when our young children are around, their customers are not safe. One person coming out of, I believe, a sports and grill bar, he said, "It is only a matter of time before something bad happens." I could read further because quickly thereafter, places like White Marsh and Townsend begin to call extra enforcement in case they navigated to those places. Somebody said me real loud, and I'm going to get to where I'm going to say, you can't have our children. Why is this so important, Pastor Lawrence? Where are you going with this? There are some key things that we really have to now understand. The first thing that we must now understand is the importance of family to God and how much he desires to have his own special family which function as the beloved community. Somebody said to me real loud, family is important to God. And if you guys want to be released, amen, you're fine to be released, all right? Somebody said to me one more time, say, family is important to God. All right, number one, we got to understand that family is important to God. Number two, we must look at the family through the biblical worldview presented within the pages of the Bible in the book of Genesis to Revelation. We really won't understand family until we get a good view of what family looks like in Genesis to Revelation. Because what God is doing throughout his story, is quite amazing. It is quite masterful. It is a great grace. He's building a family. I'm going to say it again. What God is doing through his story, it is quite amazing. It is quite masterful. It is quite full of grace. But what he's doing is he's building a family. Somebody said to me real loud, God's building a family. So family is important to God. God is building a family masterfully with amazement and with great grace. In building a family, God works in strange manners so his sons and daughters will arrive at faith. Let me say that again. In building a family, God is using his sons and daughters that they might arrive to faith, that they can understand the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. He's building a family. And with his sons and daughters, he's making sure that they arrive at faith so they can understand what is the good, what is the acceptable, what is the will of God in the earth. He wants to build a family, and he wants the family to become the beloved community that walks in divine order. He wants to build a family that becomes the beloved community that walks in divine order. If we slow down a little bit and we remove the blinders of the busyness of every day, it would become crystal clear how rejection of God and rejection of faith principles and rejection of biblical principles have thrown this whole thing into a chaotic order. God is building a family that might build beloved community, that might walk in divine order. But because of rejection of God and because of rejection of faith, because of biblical principle, if we look around, it does not look like any of this thing that God is doing is working at all. But that is not because of God. And please don't get it twisted up. He is going to work everything after his own counsel before this is over. But the present state is because we rejected the God of the heavens. We rejected faith principles. We've even now done, as in the book of Judges, we do often what is right in our own eyes, and then we wonder, how did we end up here? We slow down a minute, it becomes crystal clear that the rejection of God has thrown this thing off kilter. That the rejection of faith principles, the rejections of the very principles that God gave that we might function as a family, rejecting that has thrown this thing so far off, we often now ask, did that really happen? All creation is now moaning and it is groaning. And listen what it's waiting for. It's waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. You didn't hear what I said. I said that rejection of God has now caused this thing to be so far off kilter. We're nearly operating in a chaotic fashion and we're wondering where we're going. And all of creation is moaning and groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. What we fail to realize, if it's, oh, I don't want to melon, I don't want to, amen, offend anybody, but if we think about it, if it's off, it ain't because of God, but it's because of us. Do you remember what he did in Genesis chapter number 1? When he created man and woman in his image and his likeness, he created them. When he created man and woman, guess what he says? Now, take dominion. Replenish and multiply and subdue every creeping thing that is on the earth. If this thing is chaotic and out of order, maybe we're not taking dominion as we ought. Say that again. If this thing is chaotic, if this world is going crazy, or as some say, to hell in a handbasket, if it is so, it might be because we're not taking dominion as we ought. That's why I've come with the message today in a dominion type of way. I'm letting the enemy know you can't have our children. We should be aware of the warnings given by God that what will happen when a nation or people or individual reject his way. Or reject and disobey his commands. I wish I had a little bit more time, because in the word of God, he tells us what will happen when a people, when a nation, when an individual will reject his way. In Hosea chapter number 4 and 6, he said, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. But that's not the worst part. He said, it was not that I did not give you knowledge. It was that I gave you knowledge and you rejected it. It is always dangerous to reject the order, the way, the steps that God has ordered. But it gets worse than that. He said, not only will my people perish because they rejected knowledge. Listen to what Hosea 4:6 said. He said, because you rejected my knowledge, because you rejected my way, and God is not to be played with, because guess what he says next? When you reject me, I'll forget about your children. This thing is chaotic because we failed to walk in the dominion that we've been called to walk in. This thing is chaotic because we rejected what we see in our community. We got to now be big boys and good girls, and we got to pull up our pants, and we got to now take responsibility, because this stuff is on us. It's happening on our watch. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And we've been given the authority and the dominion to push some stuff back, to step on some stuff and take dominion and bring order. But we won't take the responsibility to do a little bit of work. In Hosea chapter number 4:6, he tells us what will happen when we reject his way, when we disobey his commands and his instruction. But he goes further in Proverbs chapter number 1. He says, because I have called thee and you refused, I have searched out of my hand with no regard, but you have set at naught all my counsels and would none of my reproof. Listen what he says. He says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when fear cometh upon you. And when your fear become a desolation and your desolation become a whirlwind, when distresses and anguishes come upon you, then you shall call on me. Listen what God said. Then you're going to call on me and I'm not going to answer. Could our present situation and what we're seeing in community, could it be that we got to clean our hands? Could it be that we got to purge our hearts? Could it be that we got to repent, amen, and repent for our fathers, amen, and repent for our father's father, and Lord, do a new work in us that he might then send the time of refreshing? I'm going to get to where I'm going to get to, but we've got to understand this present course is a little bit of our responsibility. When we see 400 to 500 mainly African American children wandering aimlessly in the harbor, we got to take some responsibility. And I know you're not going to say amen, but I'm going to say amen real loud, because there's probably something that we could have done. Is anybody in here old enough to remember the 4-H club? When I was young, they had something called a 4-H club. And one of the older ladies in the community, I'll never forget her name was Miss Grandy. She was probably about 75 years old, trying to keep a lot of us young, hot ones out of trouble. So every Monday she said, come on, look. She couldn't hardly speak good English. Come on, little young ones, and come on to the 4-H club. What she was trying to do is keep us out of the harbor where they would call us criminals. I'm going somewhere, so stick with me. Do me a favor, say me when you realize you cannot have our children.
Have our children. Hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
You cannot have our children. I shared with you earlier, God is serious about establishing a family. God is serious about us obeying his command. God is serious about all of creation walking in his divine fullness. This is why in Genesis chapter number 1, in verse 25 and 26, he said, now, this is what I want you to do, humankind. I want you to man to leave his mother and father, and I want to cleave to his wife, and I want them to become one flesh. And then I want them to multiply and increase and replenish the earth. Now, all you got to do, anything you want to eat, eat it. You want to name zebra, zebra? Name zebra, zebra. Whatever you want to do, just do one thing. That tree right there, don't eat from that. And man rejected, and through one man's sin, sin entered into all of creation. And when sin is finished, I'm going somewhere, so please stay with me. When sin is finished, it always leads to death. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's what the enemy's plan is for our children. To steal, to kill, and destroy. Adam and Eve were supposed to set the example, but now Jesus has set the bar. Adam and Eve were supposed to set the example of this is what family, and we know they got off, and I don't have time to walk you through that, but they got so far off that now one of the sons is killing the other son, and because of sin. But Jesus came along, and now he set the bar high so we could be the family, so man could love his wife, so wife could submit to her husband, so children could honor their mother and father, that their days might be long in the land. But it's not happening, and I want to put some of the onus on us is because we're not taking dominion. Come on, tell your neighbor, it's time to take dominion. There are five things that I want to talk about, and I promise you, then I'll be done. If I had time, I would introduce you to the text, but you've seen the Ten Commandments, so you have a great introduction to the book of Exodus. Moses is the writer, and the children of Israel are now locked in captivity, and they are coming out of Egypt. Please hear me. African Americans, it is not enough to just get out of Egypt. We must bring our children with us. It's not enough for you to be making $100,000, but little Ray Ray at home, the only thing he does is play video games. Ain't nothing to brag about that. If we're coming out of Egypt, come on, someone say it real loud, our children are coming with us. Number one. And I take everything from the book of Exodus. Number one. Once we fully embrace total freedom, a desire to love and serve the Lord alone and to raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, things often become worse before they get better. I wish I had time because I'd read in Exodus chapter number 5, verse 1 through 10, Moses makes an announcement to Pharaoh that it's time to let my people go. Be wise when you tell your Pharaoh, I'm going to be let go. Because you need to hear me. Whenever you fully embrace freedom in Christ, I'm going to do what God sent me here to do. Whenever you embrace a desire to love and only serve the Lord, whenever you decide that me and my house, we going to serve the Lord, initially it gets worse before it gets better. You're going to make some declarations, and I often find this in my house. I tell Malachi, we're not doing that, and I tell Isaiah, we're going to do that, and I feel the friction. Oftentimes, say, Pastor Kim, this is the direction that we're going to go, and I feel the chaotic atmosphere that the enemy tries to create in my home, and as the house band, I have to stand silent and say, me and my house, this is how we're going to serve the Lord. But y'all need to hear me real clearly. Whenever you make a definitive statement like this, go back and read the text, because when Moses says, Pharaoh, you getting ready to let us go, he made their work 10 times harder. Things became more difficult. And having done all to stand. There are seasons that you got to say, I'm going to walk through this, come hell or high waters. You didn't hear what I said. Y'all better please hear me, especially if you guys got real little children under 10. There come seasons that you look at them and you ask, who in the world are you? Y'all better listen to me, Jasmine. Sometimes you're going to look at little Joel and say, whose womb did you come out of? Sometimes y'all better understand, because you made a definitive decision in the direction that you're going, it will get worse before it gets better. And you have to be able to be standing when the worst is over. Oh, God. See, now this feel-good church age ain't taught us nothing about standing until the worst is over. We quickly to grab it, quickly to have it, and quickly to go grab something else when what we grabbed before don't work no more. We change pages so quick, oftentimes when it get tough. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. We done got another word from the Lord about another season when the truth of the matter is it just got harder. Now we got a greater merit. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. You go to a job and say, I ain't getting fired off this job. I ain't quitting this job. You go to a job and say, ain't no devil running me off this job. And watch how quickly it can get worse before it get better. Yes. Yes. Sometimes God and Satan's trying to find out your stability. Wow. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Sometimes God and Satan and those that are around you are trying to find out, are you stable in all of your ways? One, once we fully embrace freedom in Christ, Moses says to Pharaoh, it's time to let my people go. He tells them, we're going to go serve the Lord in the, amen, the Canaan land, the land of promise. And he said, me and my children and my old ones, and please hear me, it immediately got worse. What do you do when it get worse? Y'all ain't saying nothing this morning. What do you do when it get worse? Okay, I heard two people say, stand. Most of us, and I don't know, I heard some music in the background. That down another church? We tell them to turn their music down, all right? But I thought it was a holding plan. All right, hear me. What do you do when it get worse? Please hear me. Sometimes you've got to be able to stand regardless of what's happening. I tried to teach about three C's early in the life of this ministry: commitment, consistency, and completion. Commitment, consistency, and completion. Sometimes when you say you're going to do some stuff, you're going to need commitment, you're going to need consistency, and you're going to need completion. And you're going to have to live, and it ain't that good right now.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.